In the name of Jesus. Amen. Today we give thanks for the women in our midst, especially those who serve here in our own congregation and our church at large in the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. And ironically, both of the texts, Old Testament and New Testament today, have the focus, at least a little bit, on a woman. And so the question I think before us in all of these texts and perhaps in part of our recognition of the Elder Mel is, who takes care of you? Who takes care of you in your daily life? Is there anyone there that might be a helpmate? Might there be those who work diligently behind the scenes to take care of all the little things that need to be done that perhaps we need to be a little more mindful of and thankful for? I know if the boys and I were to be asked that very question and we were to start listing out all the little things that a certain woman does over at 306 Forest Boulevard, the list would get pretty long. And for that, we're thankful. Now, in both of our texts for today, both the Old Testament and the New Testament text, mom is not only a widow, not only has she lost her husband, now tragedy upon tragedy, she's lost her only son. How? We don't have all the TMZ details. We don't have all the headline information about exactly what happened, how this young child, this young man died. We just don't know, and so that's not important. But what is important is this, is that her future now as a woman is doubly uncertain. Her life situation, doubly desperate. There's no one now to take care of her, to provide for her, which is what we men are called to do for the women. No one will take the time. Things proceed this way for us in a certain way when someone dies. We say, well, that's just part of the natural progression of things, and everything proceeds as usual following a death, as if death has the last word, as if death for you and me is in control. Until someone shows up. And so as he is on his way to Jerusalem, as our Lord and Savior is on his way to the cross where he will be crucified for the sins of the world, for both men and women and children alike, as he is on his way to do true mission work, for as Scripture tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, as he is on his way, things in our text get quite strange. You might have missed this. They get incredibly odd and extremely bizarre. Or if you did catch what happened in the gospel text for today, you might say, how rude. You see, the funeral now for this man, the son of the widow, the funeral is over. And everybody is now headed in procession to the cemetery to bury the boy's body. Think of how we normally do this. Normally you'll have a police escort making sure you get through the stoplights and the intersections, and you have your lights on flasher, or you have your lights on, and as you're driving to the cemetery, what are people doing? Pulling off to the side of the road as a sign of respect. So that's what's going on here. They're walking to commit the body to its resting place, and there's not a dry eye among the crowd, let alone dear mom. But that's when Jesus intrudes, barges in. Jesus crashes the committal. There's this huge crowd from the city of Nain following mom and all of her followers, all the mourners and all the bigwigs are there, the most importance, the VIPs. Can you imagine how peeved the rabbi was who was in charge of this committee when Jesus takes it over? Because Jesus acts like he's in charge. You might feel that way about Jesus sometimes. How dare he barge into my life and take over like he's in charge? How dare he show me what is right and what is wrong? How? Well, you get a little offended, don't you? And you'd be offended if he did this. I mean, really upset that he would interrupt this personal family time of mourning, that he would stop the whole procession. What would you do? Would you get on your iPhone and call the sheriff of Adams County? Would you call the pastor's ecclesiastical supervisor, maybe his circuit visitor or his district president, or maybe you'd do both? I mean, after all, how dare this preacher Jesus interrupt the procession to the cemetery for someone who he hasn't been a pastor of? And how dare he then look the mother right in the eye in the midst of the procession and say to her, "Do not weep." How rude Jesus would do that. After all, people just don't do things like that, do they? Have you ever walked up to somebody at a funeral and scolded them and said, "Stop crying now"? No, I doubt you have. I know I haven't. That probably would be a ministry killer if I did. But Jesus does. Jesus talks like that to this woman who's about to bury her only son. Jesus puts himself in charge of death, because he is the Lord. This you may not know in Luke's gospel, here where we're at in chapter 7. This is the first time in Luke's gospel that Jesus is called Lord. How fitting. And as the Lord, he is here to have compassion on mom. His gut is turning and wrenching for her, which is what the word compassion really means. Compassion is Jesus' cup of tea. It's what he has come to do. And this is precisely what it means for him to be Lord. And so Lord Jesus, Lord of all, is now here in this life, in the trenches with us, walking this life, the one you're walking right now, flesh and blood, not some ethereal ghost or anything like that. And Jesus will not ignore this woman. He will care for her as a Lord should care. And so he says, "Do not weep," as if he will give a reason now for her to stop. And he will. Now, if that wasn't provocative enough, check out what Jesus does next. He goes right up to the coffin, if you will, where the corpse of the boy lies. Not to pay his last respects, not to leave a rose or some kind of memento, he touches it. He touches the coffin, the body. Do you remember your Old Testament? Do you remember what the law was about a dead body? That to touch, you risk becoming ceremonially unclean, polluted. But there Jesus is, to serve her and her son. There he is to bring all of his divine holiness and purity to this horrible and toxic, sinful situation. Your holy Lord Jesus comes to cleanse and to heal. Which is part of the reason the next time you go, especially to a Lutheran funeral service, pay attention. Why, at the Lord's Prayer, the pastor will normally come down and do what Jesus did in this text. Place his hands upon the coffin, because Jesus has come to deal with death. And Jesus then goes on from here to preach the most incredible sermon I've ever heard, and I hope you've ever heard as well. It's the most incredible sermon. It's also the shortest. You ready? You want to repeat after me? Because I can teach it to you. Young man, I say to you, arise. That's it. That's the sermon. You see, Jesus' words do what they say. They are the Lord's words. This is the same Lord who, before he took on flesh and blood, said, "Let there be light." This is the same Lord who said as well, "Be fruitful and multiply." His words do what they say. They say what they do in the beginning, and now even in the face of death at Nain, "Young men, I say to you, arise." And the boy sits up. But not in a Frankensteinish sort of way. The boy sits up and he speaks. He is now alive again, and Jesus gives him back to his mother. Well, maybe you're not so offended anymore at Jesus. Perhaps you're astonished. And you should be. In our text, the first thing we're told is that fear seized them all. That was the first response, and rightly so, because this is not something normal. And the next thing? Well, they glorified God. They said at first, "A great prophet has arisen among us." And then they said, "God has visited his people." And all of this is true, very true, because after all, the long-awaited promised prophet, mighty in word and deed, has now appeared. Fulfillment of Deuteronomy 18, as shown in Luke 24 later on in this gospel. The prophecy of old Zechariah has now come true when he said in Luke 1, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." And so this gospel now, preached to the spiritually poor, is truly power. It's the power of God for salvation to those who believe. But there's more, of course. Because Jesus as Lord is now going to Jerusalem, remember? He's going there to suffer, to die, and to rise again on the third day himself, to sit up himself, and to speak again. But he's not doing this for himself, he's doing it for you. Because his resurrection from the grave on the third day is the guarantee of your own resurrection from the grave. You see, one of the biggest problems and shortcomings in our culture today, and even in Christianity and modern Lutheranism, is that we forget of what awaits. We talk about death as if, well, that's it. And that Grandma, Grandpa, Bobby, Joe, and Sue are, well, they're off doing everything they want to do right now. They're driving their tractors and trucks, and, well, they're like Pastor McKay. They're just playing golf all day long and eating whatever they want. That's not true. I've said it many times to you over the years, and I'll say it again. Death does not have the last or final word. And death for us here is not the last or final thing to happen. The last and final thing to happen is Jesus. He's the one that has the last and final say. And it goes a little something like this. When he raises the widow's son, he shows great compassion on his people and now exhibits his power over death as the Lord. Just as we saw in the Old Testament text with Elijah. Elijah touched a dead body as well, risked becoming ceremonially unclean. But Elijah now, as a pastor, as a prophet, as one appointed, cared for this widow who had fed him and cared for him, as we heard last week in our text. Elijah can't speak the word himself. All he can do is pray out to God, pray to him, and trust that God will provide. And he did. And God answered by raising the widow's son to life. But the fulfillment of all of that is Jesus who comes in our text today, when and where he is first called Lord, not only life, but now Lord over death. And now there's something that awaits for you and for me. He's going to do this same thing again in the resurrection. That's what awaits. A new body for you. A new heaven and a new earth. We are pointed in what is yet to come in so many ways. We have a story that still awaits in Scripture of the raising of Jairus' daughter. And all of that climaxes, of course, in his own resurrection 3 days after his crucifixion on the cross. Because there, death is defeated. And so death has no power over you. That's why Jesus says, do not weep. That's why the Apostle Paul writes that we do not mourn as unbelievers do, because we yet have hope. We have God's certain word that there's a reunion that awaits with our loved ones who have died in the faith. That's how you can face death itself and stare it in the eyes, even your own body, and stand firm because of Jesus, because of Lord Jesus. And so his compassion extends even to you. You too are very precious to him. He died for you. He rose for you. He gives you his divine name in baptism. He covers you with his very righteousness. You know, last night it kind of hit me. In last night's service, I was looking out at the quilts and we were singing the closing hymn last night, and the closing hymn might get you a little bit too. And as I looked out and I saw some of these quilts, I thought over the years of how many people fell asleep in Jesus with some of these quilts that were made right here at Peace Lutheran in Hastings, Nebraska. The warmth, the comfort that was given simply in a blanket, but how much more the love of Christ that we share when we serve others. How much more the love of Christ that covers you in your baptism, that is given to you in his body and blood, that you hear as it's spoken to you even by your pastor today, that you are forgiven, that you are saved. Because Scripture tells us this, Mark 16, verse 16, and our confirmands should have this memorized by now, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. And John 5, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Be ready for that last day. It could be at any minute. But your future is certain because of your Savior. And on that last day, he will intrude on the grave, where perhaps even your corpse is buried. And he will say to your graveyard dead body what he said to the boy, arise. One last and final sermon. And you will, bodily, because he is the Lord, Lord for you, now and forever, because he has the say-so, because he is in charge, even over death and the grave. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.